This is Cruise Radio.
I cruise a lot, and I always sail with travel insurance. You should, too. Get a free quote today at tripinsurance.com.
Here we go.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. On board Carnival Celebration this week for a 14-night transatlantic cruise. We're about on day number 10, 11, 12. I don't know. I've lost all track of time at this point of the cruise. All I know is we'll be back in Miami on Sunday to christen this thing. And then on Monday, it kicks off its year-round inaugural schedule from Port Miami down to the Eastern and Western Caribbean. Joining me here to talk about the Carnival Celebration and some initial thoughts before we tackle the big interview coming up in a couple of weeks is Baher. He is here from, you're out in the, live in the Midwest, Southwest?
In Central Texas, right. Austin area.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you've been on the show before and glad to have you on board the ship here to talk about this. I want to kind of say, because you actually, we were talking earlier and you actually sailed Carnival Mardi Gras. So I want to get some of your thoughts, the differences between Carnival Mardi Gras and Carnival Celebration. Obviously, it's basically the same blueprint and the same hardware, but there's little tweaks around the ship. So let's talk about that for a little bit.
All right. So as you said, Doug, both are XL class ships. They're very similar. First, to touch up on the room layout, I feel like it's pretty much very similar layout. Really pleased, no issues. And as small as this really sounds, the biggest improvement that I've seen is people that have been on the Mardi Gras know this, the location of the toilet paper was a bit funny behind you, and now they've actually added on the side, so it's just a better location for that. Otherwise, on the ship itself, there are some differences for the bars. Specifically on the Celebration, there is the Golden Jubilee bar, which is on deck 6 mid. So this takes place of the Brass Magnolia, which is on the Mardi Gras. There's also Latitudes, which is also in the same location, deck 6 mid, near the Golden Jubilee. That takes place for the Fortune Teller on Mardi Gras. Aquaria bar, which is a new bar on deck 7 in place of the Grand View bar on Mardi Gras. And lastly, that I recall is the bar 820, which is on deck 8, which replaces the bar De La Rosa on Mardi Gras. There's also a few theme differences as well. Some of the themes are the same, but the differences that I've noticed is on deck 8, there is the 820 Biscayne, which is like a Miami theme, pretty colorful, pretty nice area. That's where they house the pizza, which is now called Miami Slice. Speaking of the pizza, there's actually new pizzas on board. I don't have those written down as far as all the different ones, but they're fairly different compared to the other ships.
Did you notice the pepperoni is different at all compared to the other ships? It seems, I don't know if it's maybe a European thing. They had to load up on the European slices instead of like the regular pepperoni. It just seems thicker and like more like a sausage patty style instead of the little thin ones.
Yes, I did notice that, and it tastes a little bit different
as
well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, the deli is called Deco Deli here on Celebration. Different sandwiches as well compared to on Mardi Gras. The other area that's a theme that's different is on deck 6, which is the gateway. There's some big LED displays. There's also a very big ship model on deck 6, which is pretty nice to look at. That whole area takes place of the fortune teller area on Mardi Gras.
Yeah, and also that Brass Magnolia was there in that New Orleans zone, or French Quarter, I guess it is, on Mardi Gras. And I have to say, one of my favorite parts about that Golden Jubilee bar is the blueprints all over the wall. It has like the blueprints of Carnival Destiny, yes, the schematics for the funnel, how Joe Farkas first designed that years ago, and just little nuggets and kind of Easter eggs around that area. If you look down on the ground, there's coins of every Carnival cruise ship kind of, I guess, laid into the cement or the floor. And the best thing, too, is also, and I've spent a lot of time, probably an unhealthy amount of time, at that 10-foot model, yes, of this ship that's in the Golden Jubilee bar that's to scale. So it's insane. I've been sending pictures to my friends and everything because it's like, yeah, this is the ship we're on.
Yes.
Because you try to take pictures of the ships and show your friends or your family, and it's like, where are you? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But here you can like do like a bird's eye view and be like, oh, this is where I am. It's right. Really cool. And also, you were talking about the Aquaria bar up on deck 7. The artwork in there came from the promenade on Carnival Victory. So they really kind of put that to life as well. And also all around the ship, I've noticed there's little QR codes that you can scan with your phone. For instance, at that Aquaria bar, that's where that that Venetian glass artist made those sculptures, I guess, of glass. And if you scan that, it tells you all about him, where they were on the ship and all this cool stuff. So there's a lot of little things to do, especially like if you're a person who doesn't like a sea day or something, it'll keep you busy on the sea day.
That's correct. We've been having now 7 sea days, or we're on day 4, I believe, of our 7
we
sea
are.
Days.
Yep.
And just lots of activities going on during the day and the evenings as well. So overall, I've been very, very pleased and definitely happy to be on the sailing.
So we first bumped into each other yesterday on Bolt, the Ultimate Sea Coaster. What did you think about the coaster? Because that was my fifth or sixth time on it between two ships. I think $15 is a great price for that 40-second rush. In my opinion, other people will argue with me and say it's not. What did you think of the roller coaster, and how would you explain it? Because I do a really bad job. Because the track looks deceiving, too. Like, when you look at the track, it looks like you're going to do twists and turns.
That's right.
And then when you're actually on it, not so much.
Correct. So first of all, yes, as you mentioned, it's $15. It's for 2 laps. As far as how long it takes, it will take you anywhere from about 45 seconds to a minute and a few seconds, depending on how fast you go. You do have a boost button that you can use, I believe, up to 5 times. There are certain areas on the track where it's best to use the boost, for example, when you're coming down. But basically, it's very safe. It does look very deceiving, as you mentioned. There is a seatbelt that comes, that snugs you in really tight. My favorite part of it is the rush when you have it on. When you have your right hand basically to go full blast, mm-hmm. and the light turns green and you just
shoot
and it's so fast, and I think I had my jaw just open as I was going. It's super fun. I personally think $15 is well worth it. I mean, where else are you gonna say you've done a roller coaster on a ship?
Yeah. Did you get the time? Like, what time did you have for the 2 laps?
I had, I believe, 50 seconds, which is not horrible, but also I think that record has been beaten by other people.
So just so you know, I hold the record for the ship right now. I had it full throttle and boost the whole entire way, 42.3 seconds.
Nice.
Yeah. And in fact, my buddy won't go with me because he's afraid that he thinks it's like upside down, like he's at Six Flags or something, which it's not, but whatever, he can think that. So I'm like, okay, yeah.
One other thing I want to mention is it does seem like there are more photographers also taking pictures, and I say that because when I was on the Mardi Gras, also of course there are photographers that are basically taking pictures as you're, you know, coming down and so forth. But in this case here on the celebration, it seemed when I opened up my Hub app and I look at the pictures, there was a lot of pictures from even different angles as well. So I thought that was interesting. Now those pictures are not free, of course. They are watermarked with Carnival, and you can purchase them through the Hub app.
And they have that camera too. Like, I wish they would sell that footage of, because it looks up at you.
Yes, right.
The console there. So it'd be cool to actually, so I would buy that for 25 bucks or whatever, just to see your face when you're coming out of the chute there and doing that back loop. It's really cool. Let's talk about the shows on this ship. Of course, the big show is it the Majestic Big Top? What do they call that show that it played last night? It was the one that was really, really popular, both shows.
I think it's correct. I think it's called Magnificent
Circus
or yeah. Show of Circus, something like that. It's a brand new show. I actually did not attend that show yesterday. I had the chef's table, which was a very good experience. It was about a 3-hour long experience, but it was pretty phenomenal. I am planning on attending that today, but I do have friends that have seen it, and they told me do not miss it. That is in the Grand Central area, which is on Deck 6 Mid, but you can basically view it anywhere from Deck 6, 7, or Deck 8.
It's safe to say that Celebration Central area, 6, 7, 8, is basically like the new show theater. Like, that's where, you know, 3 years ago we were going into the theater to see a show, but now on this class of ships we're going to 6, 7, 8, Celebration Central. But it's interesting because the ship holds 5,200 at double occupancy and a little more than that with a third and fourth berths full. But it almost seems like it's – I don't know if it's maybe throwing one more show maybe or something like that, because it gets really packed in there.
Correct. So this ship, we have about 4,500 guests on board. There's 1,800 crew members. I don't really feel an issue. The flow is pretty good. People are scattered everywhere. However, on the major concern that I'm seeing is in that Grand Central area, because there's not a whole lot of seating. There are a lot of seating area, but just for the popularity of those shows in the Grand Central, it seems like you have to be there fairly early to catch a show. And so they do have those shows twice, both in the evening times. Mm-hmm. So you can try to attend one or the other. Not so much an issue in the main theater. There's plenty of seats in the main theater. Overall, I am happy with entertainment. I think Carnival has been getting pretty much the best of the best for the performers, the comedians, the shows, probably because not only it's the newest ship, but it's also the inaugural or the maiden voyage as well. I've had some of the same performers that I've seen previously on other ships, and I'm very excited when I hear their name and say, oh yeah, we definitely have to go and catch their show. So very, very happy with that.
Yeah, I want to clarify too. What I was saying, that the space was very crowded or whatever. Like, I can say after being on the ship for 10 or 11 days at this point, I haven't been like in any crazy long lines at one time. I haven't had to look for a lounge chair anywhere. There's always stuff open because there is just, I think that's the thing with the zone concept, kind of like Royal Caribbean did with their neighborhood concept, where there's always something to do. Like, you might not be a deck 16 Lido deck person, but you might like that infinity pool in Summer Landing on deck 8. Or you might not be an inside person to, if you're doing remote work like I am, go sit on the outside. Like, there's just all these places. And also, we didn't mention it, but the Celebration Central Atrium, really cool how it transforms, right?
Correct. Yes. During the day, they open it up so you can actually see the ocean views, and it's pretty remarkable watching it, especially from deck 7 or deck 8, and looking. Sometimes they'll have it's like a ship Q&A or some activities that's in the Grand Central area. It's nice to kind of view that and seeing the background with the ocean just right behind it, and these huge windows that you can view out to the ocean. And then in the evening time, they have the LED screens, and they're so crisp and so clear that you cannot even tell where one screen really transforms or really connects with the next screen. Mm-hmm. It's just like one huge cinema, but with way better LED, I guess, I suppose.
Yeah, and the circus show does like acrobatics and stuff. It's just amazing what they can do in that space. I know other cruise ships have the same kind of technology, like Royal Caribbean especially has a lot of that on their Quantum class. But just like even in that whole space, when they black it out during the daytime, you don't know if it's night or day out because there's no other windows or, you know, real light coming in. There's artificial light, which brings me to the getaway zone there, where they have these, I don't know what they're called. I call them virtual windows because they do different kind of scenes. They did like the land before time or something last night with dinosaurs in them. And what I'm talking about for the listeners is it's fake windows or virtual windows, and you can see outside, quote unquote, but it's different projections, and there's shows that happen in this gateway promenade throughout the day and night. Am I talking about this correctly, or how would you sum it up?
Yeah, I feel like the best viewing is from deck 7. Mm-hmm. You have those LED screens that spans like horizontally, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's different themes. Some of it, like you mentioned, is dinosaurs, or there's several different ones, and it's just fascinating to watch it. And I think also I recognize Lee, the cruise director. He's been fantastic, by the way. His voice is in some of these gateway shows, I suppose. They dim the lights and to kind of like make it more look cinematic or kind of theatrical. It's pretty unique. Definitely something new on the Celebration to check out.
Yeah, because the French Quarter area was very, and as it was designed to be, kind of dark and eerie with the fortune teller bar there and all that. And now it's just a big open space all about travel with the Latitude bar and that really cool departure flipboard.
Correct.
Right above Latitudes, where everyone is always walking by really slowly to watch you go into flip like the old school train stations or airports there. Also in that same area, I like how, kind of going to transition here to how they changed the ship or modified it a little bit. Emeralds. On Mardi Gras, Emeralds was right against the wall, and there was really no windows or anything right over there. Whereas this, Emeralds is flipped. So Emeralds is more in the middle of the walkway, and there's probably 24 booths and tables against the side of the ship where you can get a window view and stuff in that area. And that really opened things up. Also, at the end of the Alchemy Bar on deck number 7, they added about 5 or 6 booths, like four top booths. I noticed that. They also expanded the, I believe it's the Carnival dining room, the midship one. They expanded that and added like another full section, which made the Jubilee bar a little smaller than the Brass Magnolia bar on Mardi Gras, but to accommodate more people. And it's just good and refreshing to see that cruise lines are paying attention to what's working and what's not, and making, you know, minor changes from one ship to the next.
Correct. And not only, as you mentioned, all this extra seating areas in inside, but also outside as well. I noticed on Lido deck, deck 16, also deck 17, also even on deck 8 around the ship, around the watering hole, for example, and also on the summer landing on the aft, there's more seating areas, there's more lounges. Really, I haven't really seen a lot of issues if somebody wants to grab a seat, even though we have 4,500 guests on board and sea days, which typically gets fairly packed. It hasn't really been a concern finding a lounge chair or a chair.
Yeah. And also, I want to talk about the casino, because in full disclosure, I'm not a gambler, but I do get that $25 fun play credit with my status. So I always go in there and load it onto my card. And I've noticed that the casino area, so one side is smoking, one side is non-smoking. I can't remember if it's port or starboard. I get turned around on the ship so easily. But when you walk from the port side to the starboard side or vice versa, it's legitimately like walking into a smoking casino or non-smoking. There's like this invisible wall between the two. I don't know what kind of sorcery they're doing in there, but it's working, and they should probably do it on more ships.
Correct. I think it is a firewall between both sides, and you're absolutely right. I am also a non-casino player, but I do enjoy the $25 for the status. But in any case, sometimes I do enter the casino and I realize, oh, I'm in the smoking section. And if I turn around and I go to the other side, and it's a complete different, it's a complete non-smoking. And when they say non-smoking, you really cannot smell any smoke, which is a breath of fresh air compared to the other ships. So yes, I'm definitely happy with that.
And you notice what they did here too. You can't really go to the theater on deck 7 unless you walk through the casino.
Yeah, correct. And the casino is similar to the Mardi Gras. It's pretty large. They have a lot of real estate space for the casino. But you're right. So typically deck 7 mid, that's where the casino is. So if you want to avoid the casino area, I mean, thankfully now they have you can walk through in the non-smoking side, but you can always, obviously, of course, go through deck 7, or deck 6 or deck 8.
Yeah, one of the ship designers, Glenn Aprile, told me that the casino on this ship is 30% larger than the Vista class ships. And you could tell, because it almost seems like it doesn't really take up the whole deck, but it almost seems like it takes up all of deck 7.
Yes, it's like it feels like it never ends. You go in one end and you just keep walking, you think you're going to end. Nope, and there's a whole another section that you just keep on walking.
And it's crazy too, because I keep crazy hours just because of the time change we're on and getting my news briefs and stuff done. And people are sitting at those machines. I go to the aquarium bar to do some work. People are sitting at those machines at 3 in the morning, 5, 6, 7, like nonstop. Like that's obviously a moneymaker for the cruise line, but it's just crazy to see that how people are utilizing, especially with 7 sea days in a row. It's like, have at it. 20, like when we were in the last port we were in, the Canary Islands.
Yes,
Tenerife. When we left there, they said, okay, the casino's open from here to Miami. So for the next 7 days, spend all you want. And I'm sure people will be getting some free cruises by the end of this one, because there's a lot of investment happening in there. Did I forget anything? I'm trying to think here. I know we're trying to keep this high and tight this week because in full disclosure, I want to make sure the file isn't too large to upload and take all night to upload to my audio servers. So I'm trying to think. I'm looking over my notes here, and I don't really see anything that we did not cover. I'd like to have you back on, though, once we get home and settled, and kind of do a full comprehensive review of the ship like we always do, from embarkation to debark and the 14 days in between. So I guess with that said, we'll wrap it up here. And if you have any questions about the ship, feel free to email me, doug@cruiseradio.net. We've been talking with, I'm going to pronounce this man, and I'm going to let it be publicly known, Baher?
Baher, correct.
Okay, there we go. Thank you so much for joining and recording with me today. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to catching up when we get off the ship.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Doug.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review. Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast, or online at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer,